Gathered here in this place are those that are known, claimed, and loved by God. We are here because God invites us to be part of the body of Christ together. We are here to seek peace and forgiveness, hope, and love. Therefore, we welcome everyone to this time of worship as together we praise the living God. I'll invite those seated nearest to the inside aisle to begin passing the friendship pads and providing the information requested. You can also make a fling reservation while you're at it. We extend a special welcome to those who may be visiting with us this morning. It is our hope and our prayer that this is a meaningful time of worship and connection for you. So as the children are coming forward to share in our reading of Scripture this morning, let us all stand and share a sign of Christ's peace and welcome with our neighbors. Let us stand.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Hey, Rileys. We're going to need to scooch together. Excellent. All right, Miss Anna Grace, we're going to need to scoot together a little more. We're going to be doing some stuff. How about that? We're going to be moving. So we're going to need to be scooting together so that we can move well. Well, I am glad to see all of you. We are going to help with the reading of our Old Testament Psalm today. It's Psalm 104. And as Courtney and Randy read it, we are going to help do some actions and make some sounds that come out of the psalm. So you all will be watching me to see what I do, and I will need you to do the same thing. So we're going to practice first, okay? Let's all stand up. So when I stand up, we all stand up, we're going to make trees. So we could have nice round trees, or you can make your tree however you want to do a tree. All right, and then one time we're going to do the sea and make the sea roar. Speaking of roar, we're going to roar like a lion. Let's hear a lion roar. Oh, we're going to have to be louder and fiercer than that. How about chirping? Maybe we can be good. Chirp, 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 chirp. We're going to flap some wings like birds. All right, good. So you got it. So what I do, you all do. And One time we're gonna lie down. So we'll just kind of lie down. All right, super. So let's all sit up now. We'll all get our listening ears and our watching eyes ready so that we can help share in this psalm.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Guide us, holy God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Psalm 104. Let us listen now and look now for the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment.
You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind.
You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers.
You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken.
You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight.
They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them.
You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst.
By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches.
From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work.
You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for people to use,
to bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart.
The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted.
In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees.
The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies.
You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting.
You make darkness, and it is night.
When all the animals of the forest come creeping out, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God.
When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens.
People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening.
O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke?
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Lord, Bless the Lord.
O my soul, and let us all together say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Our children certainly helped embody the awe that marks our word of faith for this day. To that end, we turn now to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew in the 8th chapter, verses 23 through 27. You may follow along on page 8 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Much less creatively, but no less attentively, let us now listen for God's word. And when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to begin with a poem. I recognize there is some risk in this. Not that I lose you at the beginning of the sermon rather than somewhere along the way like normal, but rather that you associate my reveling in poetry with my sabbatical and begin to question the wisdom of granting me this time from which I've just returned. Unless you are part of the maybe 3% of the population that likes poetry, in which case, well, nevertheless, it's a risk that I'm willing to take, and so onward. The poem is The Supple Deer, by Jane Hirschfield. The quiet opening between fence strands, perhaps 18 inches, antlers to hind hooves, 4 feet off the ground, the deer poured through it. No tuft of the coarse white belly hair left behind. I don't know how a stag turns into a stream, an arc of water. I've never felt such accurate envy, not of the deer, but to be that porous, to have such largeness pass through me. I wonder if that's what awe is like. Having a sense that largeness or intricacy or grace or beauty is passing through us like the deer leaping through the fence, taking our breath with it as it goes. You and I, porous strands of fence through which come leaping wonders as great as the cosmos, or as small as the mouse that's miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels, as another poet once said. There's a place in our faith for such awe and wonder as this, and I would like for us to reclaim it. Fred Craddock, a gifted preacher and teacher of preaching whom we lost earlier this year, once told of a practice in which his ancestors would go out walking on Sunday afternoons. Sometimes they would go together, sometimes they would go alone. They called this practice going marveling. While out, they would admire the gifts of nature around them, and occasionally they would collect things they found, an unusual rock or wildflowers, which they would then bring home to the amazement of others. This practice was a weekly immersion in awe. Now, my sabbatical this summer provided plenty of opportunities for marveling, many of which were as close as our own backyard. I marveled at the way the morning sunlight filtered through the leaves on the trees around me to surround me with all of these varying shades of green. I marveled at the smell of food on the grill and how different it is when you cook it outside, and how it can be so deeply entwined with appetite. Up in Virginia in August, one cool morning at dawn, we marveled at the sight of mist rising off of a distant, unseen river as the warmer water was met by cooler air, and how you could follow the river's course at the foot of the mountain simply by noting where the mist was rising. On a clear, dark night in May, on top of a small hill in the Shenandoah Valley, colleagues and I were able to watch a great thunderhead cloud roll eastward, even as a star-filled sky took its place in the canopy over our heads. Like Annie Dillard in her wonder-filled book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, as we walked down the hill at the end of that evening, my left foot said glory and my right foot said amen. Sisters and brothers, we live in an amazing world. I fear in all of our busyness that most of the time we're missing it. In our reading this morning, the psalmist encourages us in the faith-filled pursuit of paying attention to the ordinary and extraordinary stuff around us, sights and sounds and textures, a veritable taxonomy of wonder and joy. The gifts of God's creation that are continuously given from the earth's foundation to the sky above and everything in between, rivers and trees, conies, lions and storks, grass for the cattle, trees for the birds, wine to gladden the human heart, the ocean's deeps, the mountain's peaks, the great sea monster, Leviathan, here seen as God's beach toy. Everything interconnected in a web of life that draws us together and sustains us moment by moment. Anne Lamott could not have been more correct when she tells us that wow is one of the most faithful prayers in all of Scripture. To that end, one of my unplanned sabbatical readings was Mark Miodownik's book, Stuff Matters. As a youth in London, Mark was robbed on the subway, and in the act, his assailant cut him with what appeared to be a knife. The robber was arrested. Later that day, Mark and his parents sat at a table in the police station, the assailant's weapon on the table before them. It was actually a razor blade with a tape handle, hardly a knife at all. As the police were preparing their report, Mark says that all he could think about was how in the world that thin, literally razor-thin piece of metal, the size of a postage stamp, could cut through his leather jacket, four additional layers of clothes, and his skin. How is that possible? Well, the rest of his book is an ode to the wonder of the stuff of creation and what we have done with it. And it is wonderful indeed. As he considers metals dug from ore in the foundations of the earth, he asks, why is it that some metals bend like a paperclip, while others are hard enough to form razor blades? The answer has to do with defects in crystals, the metal crystals that can be seen at the atomic level. Who knew? Well, we do now. Or paper, on the surface, smooth. But at the microscopic level, that smooth surface looks more like a haystack. A haystack which is actually made up of bunches of cellulose fiber derived from wood pulp, which is how the paper is able to absorb the ink that we print or write on it, instead of having that stuff just slide right off the page. He goes on to tell of a more recent miracle, self-healing concrete, made from mixing together limestone, silicate, starch, and, wait for it, bacteria, right there in the concrete. Concrete that repairs itself when cracks expose the bacteria to water that set them to eat the starch, and what they produce fills the cracks. Concrete's all better. He also tells about the way that triglyceride molecules in chocolate aid in its silky smooth feeling in our mouths, though that little miracle seems a bit far removed from the wonder and awe of the psalmist. But maybe not too far. Chocolate also gladdens the human heart, I think. And I tell you, we are living in the midst of miracles. We have every reason to be utterly astounded at every moment. But how often are we? What I've seen and what I've too often experienced is the blinding power of busyness that covers our ears, that shields our eyes from wonder, and crowds out the time that it takes to cultivate the spirit of awe. Wonder and awe are essential to us. Without them, our lives shrivel and shrink, especially that part of our lives that we devote to thinking about God and God's handiwork with us and among us. Jesus' disciples bear testimony to the same sense of awe as they are trying to figure out who or what he is and all the things they see him do and hear him say. Calming a storm on the Sea of Galilee was no small accomplishment, but that was just one of many wonders. Multitudes fed with just a few fish and loaves of bread. Outsiders drawn into the circle of divine love. Bodies broken for years with skin diseases or hemorrhages or paralysis that are now being made whole. Wherever Jesus went, there were occasions for awe for anyone who was paying attention. There still are. After all, in a culture that has little use for the church, here you are, joining your voices to sing praise to the living God, to share your love and care for one another, and to extend that care to sisters and brothers unknown in this community and beyond. Our gathering itself is made possible by the generosity, faith, and thoughtfulness of generations before us whose names we do not know. Not just the ones who were here at Highland, but the ones who came before them who decided that it would be good for there to be a church here, and for the ones before them that shaped their faith so that they would think that this was the sort of thing that would be a good idea. You ever stop to think about that great chain of witnesses who have enabled us to be here? I do, and it astounds me every time that I take the time to really think about how this has all come to be. Who is this? Jesus' disciples cry out in awe when Jesus stills the storm. That could be our cry too, a prayer of awe and wonder when we look at the utterly astonishing things that Jesus continues to make possible among us, ordinary acts that really are extraordinary when you think about it. FaithNet teachers planning lessons, giving their time to share faith with our children. Members and friends going out into the community most every day of the week or the month to serve with neighbors in need. Sisters and brothers who share gifts of time and energy to prepare fellowship meals or to serve on cleanup teams. Folks who go to work day by day and who share generously so that the church can go about its wonder witnessing ministry. Ordinary occasions for awe. There have been extraordinary ones too, and not just here. When you heard the news this summer that members of Mother Emmanuel AME Zion Church in Charleston extended their forgiveness to Dylan Roof, the young man who killed 9 of their members in cold blood, did you say, who is this that can still the storms of revenge and hatred and retribution? Who is this who makes such forgiveness possible? That was an occasion for awe, I tell you. Every moment of every day, we have reason to pray a wow prayer. When we fail to tend to this spirit of awe, our souls shrivel up a bit. It's one of the reasons that being outdoors and appreciating art and gazing up at starry skies are important, not only in and of themselves, but are also important as acts of faith. God has fashioned us for wonder. One of my teachers along the way noted that while we call ourselves Homo sapiens, the wise humans, we might better be called Homo admirans, the wondering human, the awe-filled human. Our souls are tuned to be awakened by the swirling choreography of lyrical dancers and the interplay of melody and harmony in music. Our minds are shaped for awe as we gaze at the ferocious strength of an ant who can withstand the pressure of 5,000 times its own body weight. And think of that, think of that. Meanwhile, the immensity of the cosmos in which Earth's revolution around the sun right at this very moment has us traveling at 67,000 miles per hour right now. A mere trifle, however, when compared to the fact that our solar system is right at this moment moving us at 515,000 miles per hour as we move around the center of our Milky Way galaxy. It's only for sake of gravity that we aren't being flung out into space right now. Sermon would be long over if that were to happen. It's a wonder that any of us can even sit or stand in one place while all this is happening. Meanwhile, we get so busy with life and other aspects of ministry that we fail to stop from time to time and look and pay attention to what it is that's actually happening. A hand reaches out to hold on to us when the doctor says cancer. A Sunday school teacher who's teaching about Jesus' love becomes that very love itself and the life of a child who wondered if she was really lovable. An encouraging email that arrives in the midst of tumult at the office, its message embodying the very strength that is needed as it bears witness to the rock to whom we cling when the waters rise. These things happen, I tell you. I've seen it, and I bet you have too. Or you will if you keep your eyes open. So, let's go marveling. How about it? Doesn't have to take long. Indeed, most of these awe-filled moments come and go quickly, like that deer flowing through the strands in the fence. The key is paying attention so that we know when the deer has made its way through us. My hope is that our marveling about the world, about the church, about our lives would lead us to reflect here, together, on the wonder of the one who made us and who made this world, and that the realization that this is God's world would lead us to a loving stewardship, not only of this earth that has been entrusted to us, but also of the ministry to which we have been called together. For surely God is present and at work in both. And when we gather here, we will remember and give thanks for the one who has made such a wonder and awe-filled world and who continues to work in it for sake of good. May all of our souls bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.